I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome. It's Thursday, and it's, a short time, because it's only an hour, and it just goes so fast. Those 2 hours on Tuesday even go fast. So I just want to praise and thank God for each of you. I want to praise and thank God for this beautiful season of Advent that we're in, and I just was really so blessed last night. My friend Doris brought me down to actually pick something up that I left at the office. And then she asked, I wanted to go over to St. Norbert's, because I don't often make it. I rarely make it, actually. I don't drive at night. So, anyway, it was pouring rain, a horrible night, but that's what I decided, that I was going to go down there, and Dora said she would take me. And so we went, hit the road, and we went, and probably about 300 people there. And they did a beautiful job. You know, this is Advent. And they had, they streamlined it, but they had so many people that God had used so powerfully through this beautiful prayer service and, Team Hope, which I'm a part of, the Team Hope, and have been since the very onset of it. And I remember when this was first started, there was only about 100 of us, and now Tommy Farmer said that there's, thousands of people praying now. So I just want to praise and thank God for all the stories, different stories on different ways that people had seen God's hand in their lives, even under the most horrendous sets of circumstances. People that were delivered from alcohol and drugs, people who had their whole life impacted and changed by coming to experience the power of prayer in their life. And he does a beautiful job by, he's relentless. I mean, he's always there. He continues to give of himself in many, many ways. And I just, I was glad that we got there last night. And I praise and thank God for all the ways that God was working. And Dennis, of course, leads the music, and they were wonderful. But all around, you know, so many people's lives who had been impacted, most of them were from Carroll, Bishop Carroll, Archbishop Carroll. A lot of them Eddie knew from his school days, and it was just a beautiful evening where people gathered together, one story after another, of how they came to know the Lord. In many cases, it's one man was a man that Eddie hadn't spoken to in, I think he said, 50 years, when he went to school with them. And God brought their lives back in contact with one another. This man wound up really blessing a family with scholarships so their kids could go to have a Catholic education through a tax program that Eddie Morris was involved with. So at any rate, I just want to give kudos for that whole team. They do a marvelous job of putting that together, and they're impacting lives, and that's something that I'm always moved deeply in my heart when I know that God is being glorified in so many different ways in our lives when we tell our stories, as I've been saying for 50 years. So I just wanted to share that with you because I really thought it was quite a beautiful night. And God worked in so many different, varied ways. You know, He loves each and every one of us in spite of us. And all of us, every single one of us, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And you could see that the people, as they told their stories and as they shared how God had either healed them, delivered them, restored them, renewed them, gave them peace in the midst of despair, just so many different ways. So again, if you're around when I get the new date, I'll announce it over the air, as I always do. And it's always held at St. Norberth down there in, I guess it's Norberth. So at any rate, I just wanted to share that with you. And again, I want to thank God for each and every one of you. I just got off the phone with Frank Ramos, and he was sharing that he didn't realize there was an issue on TMR's, the connection with TMR, and they lost the program. And of course, it went out through the Facebook, but people that weren't over the air couldn't hear it because they aren't on Facebook. And so they had to put an encore in. And Frank said, I'm sorry you weren't in the studio yesterday, and I explained what happened. He said, I turned on the radio and I heard myself talking, and it was to you. He said, so it was a repeat. I said, yes. So for all of you who were listening, all of our family of friends and listeners over the airwaves through WTMR, yes, there was a problem, and it's squared away, but all those who tuned in did hear a repeat. So I just wanted to let you know that. I'm going to read the gospel, as I always do, on Thursdays, and try to unpack it and see what the Lord is doing in us and through us. As the gospel is read every day at Mass, God moves in our hearts. He speaks to us. He teaches us. And just a beautiful thing. So the gospel today is from Isaiah. The gospel today is from Matthew. Isaiah is one of my favorite parts of this I love the Old Testament, which is fulfilled in the New Testament. It's not replacing it. The New Testament never replaces the Old Testament. The New Testament came to fulfill the Old Testament. That indeed the Messiah was on his way. He was coming, and 700 years was prophesied, and sure enough, Jesus came. So I just want to read the gospel for today. It's Matthew 11, verses 11 through 15. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has been no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and men of violence take it once by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Jesus certainly elevated John the Baptist. He often praised him as the greatest person born. Who can top that as a compliment, right? Not many of us. Actually, none of us. Jesus, by his own words, said that John the Baptist was truly blessed, and he praised John the Baptist, and he did say he was the greatest person born. But at the same breath, he also says that John is still the least in the kingdom of God. It's even greater than John. And it seems like, I'd say like a contradiction, don't you think? Tell him, you know, Jesus tells him and praises him, he's the greatest person born. That's can't get too much better than that. And in the same breath, he says that the least in the kingdom of God is even greater than John. It just seems like it's a contradiction, like it really doesn't make sense. But if you understand that what Jesus was about to accomplish for you and for me, for our sake, would supersede all that any prophets had ever done, including John the Baptist. As we know, John the Baptist said himself, when Jesus came onto the scene, we know John the Baptist was baptizing in the water. And when Jesus came on the scene, everybody was wondering, you know, was John the Baptist, was that the Messiah? Was that Elijah? Who was this that was baptizing people in the river? And when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist says, I am not he who is to come. Which took great humility, you know, because at that time, you know, everybody was looking up to him. Throngs of people were coming to him. Even the Pharisees came to him. He called them a bunch of vipers because he thought they weren't coming because they were turning away from their sins, but out of curiosity, if you will, or trying to save face. But the truth of the matter is, he said he wasn't even worthy to untie his sandals. So I think, in a way, that's what Jesus was referring to, that even though he said that John was, if somebody out there can bring me water in, I would appreciate it. Pardon me. This is what happens when you go live. However, John the Baptist knew his place, and he knew it wasn't he wasn't the Redeemer. He knew he was coming to prepare the way. Thank you, to prepare the way for Jesus, and we know the story well. But on John's part, I think sometimes it's overlooked. The great humility that he was exercising there. It'd be easy to say, I'm the one that the scriptures have talked about for all these years. You know, he was experiencing popularity. He was experiencing fame. People were probably just, you know, coming to him and looking for guidance and leadership and direction. And bottom line, he pointed away from himself and pointed to Jesus by saying he wasn't even fit to untie his sandals. So we have to remember that what Jesus was referring to was the fact that John the Baptist, he was to prepare the way. To prepare the way. But the greatest act would be that Father sent his only Son to accomplish more than any prophet in the past, to actually redeem and liberate and deliver the people in darkness. And we hear in the scriptures, you know, many times in Isaiah, the people in darkness have seen a great light, and they were delivered out of darkness into the light of Christ. So I wonder, that beautiful humility that I personally see in John, I wonder if we were born in those days and in those times, if we were getting all those accolades and we were, you know, on the scene and everybody was, droves of people were coming to see this person that was baptizing people in the River Jordan in the name of God, turning away from their sins. They probably looked at him like he was, you know, so special, so gifted. And I think that it shows great humility. He knew his role. Coming down in the car, Doris, we were in traffic, and Doris moved from one lane onto the other side, and she said, oh, I should have stayed in my own lane. I'm moving better over there. And I guess it's a sort of a great analogy in a way, staying in his own lane. John the Baptist stayed in his own lane when it would have been looked better maybe to move in the other side and maybe get more accolades and more pats on the back and more people in awe of you if you moved to the other lane and received all their adulation, received all the wonderful things they were saying about you, received, you know, you're puffed up, you're feeling pride. But he didn't. He stayed in his lane. He knew from the time he was in his mother's womb. Remember, it was John the Baptist that heard Mary's voice. Right? Heard Mary's voice, and the baby jumped for joy in Elizabeth's womb. So he knew his place. He knew by grace when Elizabeth felt the baby jump, move, she said that the baby leapt for joy. You know, she was such a strong movement within her that she knew that baby was leaping for joy. And she says, who am I? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew by the baby's leaping for joy within her that that was the end of the old prophets, that her son would be the last prophet from the Old Testament, and he was going to prepare the way for his cousin Jesus. But, and I think we can attest to it when we've seen, when we feel we know better than God, or we feel we're going to do it our way, that can be disastrous. And, you know, God will have his way in the end. Where there is no way, he will make a way, and he will not be mocked. But John the Baptist, he stayed in his lane. He knew from the time he was born that he was to prepare the way of the Lord, as the scriptures say. And so that is where he stayed, right in his lane, what he was called to do. And you and I, we each have a mission. We're a missionary church. You and I have a mission. And we really need to stay in our lane. You know, if God has given us certain gifts, we can't say we'd rather these gifts. You know, well, Lord, wisdom's good, but I'd rather be a healer. Or, you could go on and on, all the gifts. Faith is wonderful, but I'd rather be a faith healer. Or I'd rather be somebody in deliverance ministry that can, you know, be instrument to deliver people out of their brokenness, out of their despair, give them hope. But God gives his gifts to all of us. All of us. And the beauty is, he wants us to know that we can use any of those gifts at any given time. But that's not the same as being raised up into a ministry. And one is no better than another. He has a purpose, and he has a plan. And he puts that spirit of mission in each of our hearts since baptism. I was looking over at last night, perfect analogy. Eddie has, you know, a beautiful gift to bring people together. He has a beautiful gift to speak of what he has seen with his own eyes, heard with his own ear what God has done. And so he gathers people all the time to give the people hope who maybe have been in despair. He brings people to share that they too might have been in the dark. They too might have been living a life contrary to the gospel. But through the grace of God and through that team, Eddie and Joe and Tommy Farmer and the whole group, Dennis, that whole group, they come together and they stay in their lane. And that's why it's blessed. That's why it's prospering. That's why these people's lives are being blessed. Because where there is no hope, then we can easily fall away. But we're called to be a people of hope. And so I just want to praise and thank God that John the Baptist wasn't so filled with pride or ego, and he took a run at, let it be said, hey, if they're saying I'm the Messiah, I'm not going to say, I'm just going to let them think what they want. But he didn't. He didn't. He recognized that he had a calling on his life to prepare the way of the Lord. And we all have a calling in our life to do the very same thing. And he was preaching out there and having people come to be baptized. He even said that when the Lord Jesus came, when the Messiah would come, that he would baptize with water and fire. Okay? The living water baptizing you and the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what John said. He was telling the people, the one who is to come will baptize with water and fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. And we have that in us. We all have the fire. Sometimes it grows dim. Sometimes maybe you don't know you have the fire within you. Sometimes it has to be stirred up, just like you know, when they had those pokers and all the heat was so often coal, and you had to stir those coals to get the fire to come together and rise up to put out more heat. Same type of thing here. You know, maybe things have been lying dormant within you. Maybe you have gifts you don't even know you have. And that's usually the case. Or maybe sometimes people can be filled with, you wouldn't believe the stories I hear. Sometimes people are, you know, envious or jealous of other people's gifts, and they're the ones they want. Which means then they're not open to what God had called them to do from their baptism. Their ministry, their gifts to be used to build up the kingdom of God. Their gifts to use to reach hearts, even the hardest of hearts, by sharing God's love, His mercy, His forgiveness. There's many more of people who can do that than, you know, the smaller amount that's called to ministry. You're doing your ministry. You're doing your work, not raised up into a ministry, but you have a lane that God has called you to walk in. Not to worry about anybody, respect everybody's gift, admire people's gifts, but don't be envious of them. Don't look at anybody and say, I wish, you know, this is the gift I want. And I know so many people that have even made tried to push themselves into different ministries. And it just doesn't work. Because that's not our gift. We can't just push our way into a ministry or say, oh, well, I know I have this gift. I feel called to it. Well, sometimes you don't recognize the gift until God calls you in a special way. And through situations and circumstances, He reveals to you that you have a great gift of the Spirit to touch the coldest hearts. You have great gifts in the Spirit to give wisdom to people who need counsel desperately. And I could go on and on and on, but we're going to take a break. So let us all stay in our lane. Because if I'm in another lane and I'm not where God has called me to be, then the things that God has called me to be His instrument in aren't going to happen. Because I'm not using those gifts. I'm too busy looking over somebody else and wanting the gifts they have. Seeing the great success that they have. Why don't I have that? No. Stay in your lane and grow into all God has called you to be. That's each of our call. We all have a call. We all have work to do in the kingdom. And each one of us is gifted and completely equipped. We lack nothing. Going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and we are live again on Facebook and over the airwaves, and we're praising and thanking God for all the ways that He draws His people together. I just personally want to praise and thank God for each of you. I praise and thank Him for the amazing gift that you are in my life, and I praise and thank God for all the ways that He brings His people together. I have been, in this ministry, praise God, for 50 years now, and I just didn't wake up one day and become involved in healing ministry. It was a journey. And God will prepare the way He's called us to walk when He goes ahead of us and prepares the way. So many times, we can run ahead of Him. So many times we can seek our will and not God's will. And if John would have done that, there would have been so much destruction along the way. But he didn't. He knew his role was to do what each of us are called to do, to prepare the way of the Lord. He was a voice crying out in the desert and brought living water to wash the people, to baptize them. And yet, he did not receive all the power that the people were trying to give him. He didn't receive their accolades and their admiration. He was pointing the way to one who was going to come, who would be the only perfect person to be a sin offering for the world. And that's just what happened. That's why we're preparing now in this Advent season to remember what God has done for us. Whoops, I just forgot. I was asked if I would read this. This little prayer has gone all over the world. You'll hear priests from the altar, sometimes at Lent, and sometimes at Advent and Christmas. And it's called Can You Hear This Baby Cry? And you see from his birth to his death on the cross. In a few stanzas that this was all captured, his birth and the death on the cross. This is why Jesus came into the world, to die that we might live. Again, it's called Can You Hear This Baby Cry? The Father sent his own true Son to be born of Mary's womb. And yet as Joseph and Mary searched for this child, there was no room. How can this be, dear Joseph thought. No room for Yahweh's son? Dismayed and sad, he tried again and finally found just this one. A drafty, damp, and smelly stable where sheep and mules abide. As Joseph looked with love at Mary, he wanted to give up and cry. I know God will take care of you. After all, it is his son. But deep inside, anxiety grew, for her time had finally come. So tired and so weary now, concern showing on her face, she looks about in disbelief. Can this stable be my birthing place? Amidst the odor and the cold, was born the King of Kings, snuggled in his mother's arms for warmth against the winds. This little, tiny, holy child was truly God Most High. How could his mother comprehend that for the world he'd die? I shall name this child Jesus, Joseph was heard to say. His heart swelled for love of Mary as she laid the child in the hay. This newborn infant baby boy who was born of Mary's flesh had his little sacred heart tucked in his tiny chest. Oh, can you see him yawning now or stretching in the manger? This tiny boy of Mary's. This tiny little stranger, this little baby Jesus with his charismatic heart, had no place to rest his head right from the very start. Mary kissed his outstretched hands and caressed his little feet, being unaware, of course, that nails would pass through each. This warm and tender baby boy, so flawless and unmarred, would one day hang upon a cross, bloody, pain-racked and scarred. Can you hear this baby cry? He cries for you and I, for all the sins we will commit, for you and I, he'll die. He'll die so each of us will live forever through his birth, so we will never, ever forget what each of us is worth. So, I just want to praise and thank God that God has a work for each and every one of us to do. And it's important that we pray about it so that we can give everything that God has given to us to build up his kingdom, that he will give to us the understanding and the knowledge of he has given us these gifts, or the people that will come into our lives, for the people that are in need to hear our story that can set people free, that can touch people's lives, that can give people hope who have despaired, that can bring that gift of hope where we know without a doubt that our hope is in the name of the Lord. There is no other hope, temporary things, but no other hope that will last. Because he truly is our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. He's the tenderest heart, the most loving, tender heart, who sees and understands and weeps for those who don't know him, don't believe in him, don't want any part of him. He doesn't get mad or angry. He weeps because the very reason he came into the world is what I just read in that poem. He came to die for us that we might live. And he wants us to know that nobody can take our place. Nobody has our DNA. Isn't that magnificent to know? There's nobody that can take our place in the world. He made each of us so intricate. He made each of us so uniquely special, endowed with gifts and talents that we might share our stories, where we were, where we are now. And in that dash, what was our story? Kathleen McCarthy, born 1943, dash. Until he calls me home, and I praise and thank God that he has kept me in good health at this point in my life. I'm able to go all over the country, the world, to preach, to teach, to heal, to deliver. Not by my power, by sharing my story, what God has done in my life by his power, and his power alone. He's the healer of healers. We can look at people and we think they're the healer. No, they're in healing ministry. God's the healer, and he heals in the name of his son Jesus, who came to set us free and break those chains that hold everybody bound. It's Jesus who is the healer of healers, who is the Lord of lords. And he, and he alone, gets the glory, or he should. He and he alone should get the glory. So many times in our own, you know, our weaknesses or our strong desire to, we want something to happen and we're going to bring it about. That's foolishness. That's a lie from hell. The only one can bring about eternal life is the one who suffered eternal punishment, has entered in to take the captives free and break the bonds that held the people in captivity, bound to sin. But no, the Eternal One, the God-man Jesus. He reached into hell and he broke the power that he would set the people free. No longer afraid of death, but to look forward to eternal life. And on the third day, that third day, what can happen? You hear about the 3 days of darkness? I just got off a conversation with someone yesterday morning. And he went on and on about these 3 days of darkness. You know, it could be over, it could be the end of the world, it could be this, it could be that. It's going to be filled with horrendous fear and anxiety. And I was like, no. No. Don't get so fixated on those 3 days of darkness and the trials and the storms that are going to come. You're going to get caught up in 3 days. Get caught up on the 3 days that Jesus died and rose from the grave. They're the 3 days that count. They are the 3 days. He rose from the dead. We put our faith, our hope, and our trust in a dead man who rose from the dead in 3 days. Try to beat that. God will give us all the grace and strength and courage we need through the 3 days of darkness. In my own life, in the words that he has spoken to my heart, he has said, Kathleen, I will send angels, angels to protect you, angels to watch over you. Not meaning me personally, us. Us. Are there storms coming? Yes. Do I believe in the 3 days of darkness? Yes. But do I believe that all these different kinds of things that are said about it will happen? And do I worry about it and fear about it? And does it shake my faith? No. The 3 days I trust in, or the 3 days that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and on that third day he rose from the dead. I trust more in that. My hope, my faith, my trust is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that third day, he rose from the dead. Yes, I put my faith, my hope, my trust in a dead man that came back to life to save us so that we will never die, but we will enter into eternity when we fall asleep, when we die on earth. A new door opens and we enter into eternity, eternal life. Isn't that awesome? That's who we need. Don't be concerned with all the things that have been, they've been prophesied in the Bible all along. All along. We can read the things that all these, you know, people are saying and all those that, including myself, that got words, but only God knows what that really means. He knows what these 3 days of darkness, you know, when he says he's outside of time and space. He also says a day is like 1,000 years. Let's just try to live in the present moment. That's where he is. In the present moment. He's outside of time and space. That's for us. But the more we come to understand and know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He laid down his life because no other sacrifice could ever suffice to break the sin in the world that was brought about by Adam and Eve. They were living in the garden. They had it all. Eternal life. the beauty of God's creation. Everything, medicine, food, was all there. God created it all for his people. And yet, through sin, through temptation, and believing the enemy's lies, gave up the kingdom of eternity. And so, Jesus, God's only Son, he sent him into the world as that perfect, pure, innocent sacrifice to enter the world, to be one of us, so that sin, that bondage, those chains, those temptations, all the evil that mankind does, hate, withdrawal, all the sins of the world, it'll be Jesus who, paying the price for us, rose on that third day. Don't be afraid of the 3 days of darkness. In our finite minds, we don't really even understand, after 2,000 plus years, what exactly does that mean? Will it be traumatic? I'm sure it will be. But how traumatic will it be? And what is 3 days of darkness? We really, even the greatest scholars, are assuming. That's why we never even heard about these things so much as, you know, the book of Revelation began to reveal that truth. That's why it was called the book of Revelation, because God and the Holy Spirit would reveal in God's perfect time what we need to know to be prepared. But my brothers and sisters, I say it all the time, I can't say it enough, we need to be prepared. You and I. We need to be prepared every day. When God calls us home, when we enter this new life, a new heaven, a new earth, no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. That's what we should be concerned about. That's what we need to remember. Don't get caught up in the rabbit hole of the 3 days of darkness. Are they coming? Yes, they are. But why fear and be anxious about it? He's been warning us and telling us for all these years in the scriptures. And in these days, for a time such as this, the book of Revelation is revealing to us these things. And the great, you know, doctors of theology, great religious teachers and philosophers of faith, they're just like you and I, they're trying to get a grasp of what exactly does these 3 days mean. If a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, I want you to think about it. Don't spend, you know, your day today that's filled with all that you need for the day. Don't spend it on anxiety or fear, or doubt, curiosity. Spend it on loving one another. Spending it in love of one another. Spending each day loving, witnessing, showing God's face of mercy, of love, of his power in the Spirit. That's why he gives all these gifts of the Spirit, to help people believe that his power is greater than any power, greater than all of the armies in the world. They destruct, they can kill, they can take life, but they can't give life. Only God can do that. Only he can give us eternal life. And in this time of waiting, prepare our hearts for the joy. Prepare our hearts that are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. If God promises us a new heaven and a new earth, that's something good. God can't give us something bad. Think about it. God's all goodness. He hasn't prepared all these years to give us something bad. He will take the bad that the enemy is going crazy with now, and he will turn it into good. Our God is all goodness. Our God is love. God is love. God is love, and he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him, and not only life, but to have it to the full. Let's not waste our time in fear and anxiety of what could happen and what are we going to do, and we'll be prepared if we take each day at a time. If we read the Word of God and see what is coming and how we can overcome all that will be happening in the world, what the enemy would use for evil, what the enemy would use to destroy, to kill, to rob. God is just the opposite of all of that. God comes to give life, to heal, to renew, to restore. That's who God is. He is the Lord, our God. He's our creator. He created us. And he doesn't want us, he tells us time and time again, fear is not of me. Fear not. He is coming. He tells us, I am coming. But we should be praising God that the time would come when he comes to destroy all evil, when put everybody under his feet that is evil, and that we will live in a new heaven and a new earth. Remember, he just doesn't say a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And the 3 days of darkness, they're coming too. But the Messiah is coming back. He's coming back for you and I, whether that's now, during the 3 days of darkness, or 50 to 100 years or whatever from now. Remember, Jesus said he didn't even know the day or the hour. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. But Jesus left us a sacramental church, didn't he? Why? So that we could eat his body and drink his blood and be fed and nourished. That we eat goodness. We eat it. We eat his love, his power, his grace, his strength, and grow into what he calls us to be. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let us never forget it, and let us not fear. Our God rules. He is the creator of all, and we have nothing to fear. God bless you, and stay tuned, because Dr. Romano is coming in the next program, so don't go away. Stay tuned. God bless you.